The richest man in the world now has his own social media platform to play with. Twitter announced they accepted Elon Musk's $44 billion bid to take the company private. And Musk has big changes in mind. For more, we're joined by Robin Farzad, host of Public Radio's Full Disclosure. Hello, Robin.
Hi, Celeste.
So Musk is already pretty busy. He owns an electric car company. He owns a rocket ship company. Now he's taking over Twitter. Why? What is he getting for $44 billion?
Celeste, let me tell you about the very rich. They are different from you and me, wrote F. Scott Fitzgerald, the essayist from the other Roaring Twenties 100 years ago. This guy's worth $270 billion. And so if you take the full tag of $47 billion and a lot of it mortgaged to his Tesla wealth, which some people argue Tesla's already overvalued, he looks at it as a plaything. I've never seen one human being line up this amount of financing for a leverage buyout, which we all dismissed as just so much Twitter smack talk a few weeks ago. So it's pretty whiplashing.
Yeah, it is. And Twitter employees had some concerns that they voiced during a deal about the deal during a meeting yesterday. At the same time, some of the executives may see incredibly large payouts because of this. What's happening internally at Twitter?
You're going to see stuff leak out about, well, the edit button and everything else we've been doing. It's not easy to hire Silicon Valley caliber talent, so they're always taking calls from competitors. But look, it does help that the stock price gets a pop. It's well off of its high from last year, and that was the Achilles heel that he came in and kind of prodded. The fact that I'm giving you this best and final offer of about $46.5 billion, you're welcome to go out and shop and find somebody else. And the board quickly told him, the advisors and the bankers, there ain't anybody doing it. And this isn't a special class of stock or a private company. So that's the flip side of going public. You get the windfall at the IPO, hopefully, and it does well like the others, maybe Facebook or Google. But this hasn't. This has stagnated in the last 9 years, and anybody could have just come in and gone hostile on him like he did.
So Musk says, and I feel like this is the big question, he wants to make the platform friendlier toward free speech. But he's been in trouble for tweets before, including a very public battle with the Securities and Exchange Commission. What does he mean when he says free speech?
I mean, do people really feel like their speech is curtailed on Twitter? He certainly does, because he ran afoul of the SEC. When you come out and you say, for example, Tesla, funding secured, and that wasn't true, you're going to run afoul as a CEO, as a director of a major public company. The SEC is going to come after you. And he's also been, you know, look at the barbs he's traded with congresspeople. Look at what he's done with Elizabeth Warren. Look at what he did recently with Bill Gates this week. He put up a picture of a chubby cartoon person, and he used an expletive to compare Bill Gates to him. He is a CEO. He is the wealthiest man on the planet. He is a rocket scientist. He's a visionary, but he's also a man-child of sorts. And so, you know, to go back to Twitter, management is kind of like, we had to take the deal. And when company on that call, when everybody's asking them what's going to happen, they kind of said, well, ask Elon.
We've only got about 30 seconds, Robin, but journalists use Twitter a lot. Still, it's dwarfed by giants like Facebook. What are the implications for media?
Let's see if there is an edit button. Let's see if there are ways to go out and upsell journalists, you know, for a premium type account. I know everybody has subscription fatigue right now, but you and I use it. It's rather indispensable. The open question is it a good business? And I don't think anybody has solved that yet.
Robin Farzad, host of Public Radio's Full Disclosure. Thanks as always.
My pleasure, Celeste.